Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Bloggate Tips Tuesday podcast for February 20th, 2018. And I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include the speed tests are complete. Woo! A reminder that the next DIY SEO Live workshop is this Thursday. A general reminder to manually update to WordPress 4.9.4. The best order to do your site updates and why. WordPress.com has a new president and what that means for Automattic's future. Why you don't need to worry about Gutenberg. What's in the 2018 hosting benchmarks that were just released. How the huge drop in Google crawl budget will affect you. Predictions from Cloudflare about what's in store for sites in 2018. And why you must get a web application firewall now. So let's dive in. I hope you'll join me live tonight around 8 p.m.-ish Eastern Time for the party and interactive Tips Tuesday recap and breaking news discussion on the Bloggate Facebook page. You can also catch the quick recap later that evening on the Bloggate YouTube channel. In Bloggate happenings, woohoo! I'm celebrating! I've been running deep speed tests for 1.5 months and I'm finally finished. This week, I'm collecting all of my notes and collating them into tutorials for my webmaster training peeps. Now, they've been following along with all the documentation the entire time. It's about 400 pages worth of case study, and it required 12 to 15 tests per server type and plugin. But I've also made a nice spreadsheet with all the data for easier comparison. It just doesn't tell the whole story, hence me shaping up these notes. Now, my test sites included elements common to all sites, like Genesis with the child theme, and a sidebar full of image widgets, and an opt-in, and social follow icons, and a post with lots of images and social share buttons. It's still only about half as heavy as posts on my client sites, so speeding those test sites up is one thing. Doing it on a production site with a zillion plugins that could be affected is a whole other ballgame. So this week, I'll be applying what I've learned to the staging site of Bloggate. And after that, I'll be applying the speed treatments to a selection of my site audit clients who volunteer for the test. Now, I've identified three specific site types that I want to work on, as they'll have very different needs and restrictions, and I have volunteers for each type. So, I'm not far away from being able to document the types of tweaks needed for each type of site, and with their particular host type. Now keep in mind that these are far more aggressive speed settings than what I've been offering site audit clients because they really needed to get the bare basics going first. These speed elements carry the risk of breaking things on the site and or require more specific tweaking on a per site basis. So that's why I needed to do more testing on all these three live production site types before I release tutorials for even my webmasters. And then I'll start releasing my post series on all things speed for everyone. And a quick reminder to members of the DIY SEO course, our next live workshop will be this Thursday, the 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and you can find the Zoom meeting info on your member dashboard page. And look for the replay of a live stream I did in our Facebook group of how to find your most important pages. This time, we'll be covering your own page SEO, so you'll want to get jumping on that with your most important pages right away. Plus, in the workshop list, you'll find a new link to a running checklist I started for us in the content audit section for those of you taking that side challenge. For those of you not already in the course, you can still catch up with us and get a proper and thorough SEO foundation laid on your site. We've got a jumpstart challenge to get you up to speed with your Google connections and Yoast SEO settings, and then replays of the live workshops on technical SEO and global SEO and page titles, plus all of our live bonus sessions. All right, that's all the news from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips in WordPress Tips. If you haven't done so already, be sure that you manually update to WordPress 4.9.4. The 4.9.3 update broke the auto update feature for minor release versions, like 0.3 to 0.4 releases. So you have to manually do this one. Then you'll be back to auto updates for the minor ones again. In this past week, I've seen at least 5 posts in different groups for the proper order to update things. And every one of them has answers that are different with a wide variety of opinions as to why. Here's the order that I use that makes the most sense to me and seems to have worked best over all the years that I've used it with the least breaks or issues. First, take a full backup that you know how to restore. Second, when there's a WordPress update, do it first, as themes and plugin updates are generally dependent on the changes in the WordPress core files. And then third, clear all your cache everywhere, including your local plugin and Cloudflare, and then open an incognito or private window and check your site carefully as a visitor would see it, meaning not logged in. And then update Genesis if needed, or your theme if you're not using a child theme. And then clear the cache and check your site again. Then take another full backup. And then update the plugins in small batches and check your site by clearing your cache and checking it like a logged out visitor. And then take another full backup when you're done with all the plugins. Now, I have the WP Rollback plugin installed so that if a plugin update does go haywire, I can roll it back to a previous version. And that's also why I want to do plugins in small batches so I'll know which one went whack. Okay, all that said, I know most of you won't be doing all those steps, so here's the quick and dirty. Take a full backup. Update WordPress in your theme. Clear cache everywhere and check your site. Update the plugins in batches and then clear your cache and take another full backup. Checking your site in between a WordPress update and doing the plugins also gives the plugins time to realize that the new WordPress version is active. Some of them won't give you an update notice if their changes are dependent on the changes in the WordPress core. Now, another line of thought is to update your plugins and then WordPress and then update any plugins again if needed. That way, you know all of your plugins are okay before you make another major change. So do what makes the best sense to you. Just get that backup first, no matter what. WordPress.com has a new president. Actually, it's for Automattic. Kenzie Wilson has taken the new president position at Automattic, which is the parent company of WordPress.com. His expertise is in the digital change departments of USA Today, NPR, and the New York Times. And he was doing that job when WordPress was just getting started. So he definitely knows what it takes to bring companies through massive changes in the digital and online realm. Now he's basically taking over that visionary position so that Matt Mullenweg can focus more narrowly on being the lead dev on Gutenberg. And I don't see him leaving that post for at least another year, maybe longer. He'll be driving the release up to 5.0, which is when Gutenberg will roll into the core. But I'm betting he sticks around to help guide where this thing is going afterward, too. And you don't need to worry about Gutenberg. If you haven't been following me for long, you may not have heard my Gutenberg predictions. So here they are. We will be upgrading WordPress to 5.0 when it comes out, but we won't be using the Gutenberg text editor. Instead, we'll be using the classic text editor plugin, which is already available, or TinyMC Advanced, which will also be compatible with the classic text editor. And we'll just keep going like nothing happened. My prediction is that it's going to be around 2019 before we see themes that are fully Gutenberg compliant, and we won't be entertaining the idea of mixing and matching until at least then. Personally, I think it will be at least mid-2019 or into 2020 before we see Gutenberg themes that have the kind of functionality needed to replace our current themes. But who knows? This thing may go a lot faster once Gutenberg is in the core. But we're talking about a major shift for plugin developers and theme designers, and that's just going to take time. In other words, don't worry about it. You've got bigger fish to fry right in front of you, like speed and SEO. In hosting tips, I look forward to Kevin Ohashi's hosting benchmark test results every year. In fact, his testing criteria helped me learn how to do the kind of tests that are at the core of my performance checks and site audits. And he's got his new 2018 benchmarks out. Now, in the shared hosting category, SiteGround was near perfect again this year, and A2 Hosting had marked improvement from last year. So go jump on over to his post and see the other top winners. It's broken down by monthly price of the plan rather than the hosting package type, so be sure to click on the right one. And where you host matters like crazy. Be sure to scan through the last couple of Tips Tuesdays for more info on why the hosting company and the server type matter so much to your site's success. It's not just about speed either. In SEO tips, Google has dropped the crawl limit for Fetch. Now, as all of my HTTPS conversion clients know, one of the last things we do after the conversion is submit the new XML sitemap to Google Search Console, and then we do a fetch as Google to expedite crawling the new links. Well, sorry if you haven't done that already, because Google has officially announced that they've dropped the crawl budget of what they will assign to your site when you do a request. The old crawl budget was $500 in a 30-day period for individual links. That has now dramatically dropped to only 10 a day. And then for recrawl and follow internal links, you could do 10 within a 30-day period. And now that has dropped to 2 a day. So Google will eventually recrawl your whole site. It's just going to take a whole lot longer now. In security tips, Cloudflare has their predictions for 2018. And this post may be a little too techie for site owners and even for many of my webmasters, but definitely worth a scan by both. They start off with how accurately they were on their 2017 predictions, and they were pretty darn close. So even more reason to pay attention to what they're saying is on the way for this year. Now, the two items I want to highlight for you are continued rise in mobile use and the new attack vectors. For mobile use, Cloudflare predicted that mobile use would rise by 60% of all internet traffic in 2017. So while it did go over 50%, it didn't quite make it to 60. But they predict it will this year. And many of you are already seeing 80% mobile traffic. My recent speed tests show that when folks are on either fast 3G or 4G networks, your site load time is 4 to 8 times longer. Think about that. Not everyone is on speedy Wi-Fi when visiting your site. You need to get super serious about speed. And that's precisely why I've spent the last 1.5 months doing these deep speed tests. We have to go beyond the safest settings and make the kind of changes that make a real difference. Now, if the desktop version of your site loads in 5 seconds, that's a minimum of 20 seconds on mobile and could be as much as 40 seconds. Your abandonment rate is going to go through the roof. Okay, let's talk about the new attack vectors. You may recall about this time last year, there was a major hack at BlogVault, which is a cloud backup service. Every site that didn't have a web application firewall or a WAF got hacked too. Now, I already knew I needed to upgrade it to the pro version of Cloudflare so I could get on that web application firewall. But the day I helped one of my clients clean up from the BlogVault hack, I immediately put $20 a month into my biz budget and got myself the extra protection. And I've slept peacefully ever since. The new attack vector is going after mother companies. It's tougher, but if they can break into that, then they get millions of sites. And if they can use something like that to put a back door on your site, then they can use your hosting resources to hack other sites or send their emails or whatever. And you'll never know that they're there. Now, around this time last year, you may recall Equifax got hacked too. While everyone was worried about credit card info being stolen, all I could think about was the 17.5 million active email addresses they got. They could care less about the credit cards. That's traceable. But selling good email addresses on the black market is gold. Those hackers are set for life. Every plugin and site service on your site is an open door to it. Now keep this in mind about hackers hitting mother companies. Every single plugin and outside site service you use has full open door access to your site. Think of a web application firewall like the bouncer at a club door. It says, yeah, I know you're supposed to be able to walk right in here, but you're carrying something under your coat and it's going to check for that. Now, most of my site audit clients are on the Cloudflare Pro plan, and I strongly suggest you get on it too. There are settings in the web application firewall section, and if you need help with them, we can do that in a 15-minute live session, and it's all way, way cheaper than cleaning up a hacked site. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Please do show me some love. Share this with all your blogger buddies to support the free info and help you get on Blogate. And I hope you'll join me for the live session tonight. Be sure to visit blogate.net for more tips and resources, and I'll see you online.